Ever get that feeling?
Yeah.
You sit down, ready to tackle your to-do list, really conquer the day. And the next thing you know, you're like 3 hours deep in emails and social
Oh,
media.
yeah, exactly what you mean. It's like the modern day black hole of productivity.
Really is. So today we're doing a deep dive on how to reclaim our focus in this world of distractions.
Sounds right up my alley.
We're looking at an article called Mastering Deep Work: Strategies for Staying Laser-Focused in a Distracted World.
Catchy title.
It really is.
Hero.
And it promises some pretty amazing benefits, like not just getting more done,
Right.
but also being more creative, even happier with our work.
All good things.
So let's dive into the
Yeah, let's get practical.
how do we actually achieve this deep work state?
Well, first, it's interesting to know there's real science behind it. Why focus is so powerful?
Yeah, the article mentions a study by the American Psychological Association that really blew my mind. Apparently, just switching between tasks can tank our productivity by up to 40%.
Oh,
It's huge.
it is. And it makes sense when you think about what's happening in our brains. When we focus deeply, the prefrontal cortex, that's the part responsible for problem solving and strategy, it really kicks into gear.
So deep work is like a mental workout.
Exactly. You're strengthening those crucial cognitive muscles.
But when we're constantly jumping between tasks, we're stuck in this reactive mode.
Right. We never really give our brains the chance to engage deeply, to get to that problem-solving state.
Which is probably why we end up feeling so scattered and unproductive by the end of the day.
Exactly. It's not just about time management, it's about optimizing our brain power.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So how do we get there?
Well, the article outlines seven key strategies for mastering deep work.
Seven. Okay, let's hear them.
All right, the first and arguably most important is establishing deep work blocks in your schedule.
Like Bill Gates and his Think Weeks.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, a bit extreme for most of us.
It is. But the principle applies even if we're not billionaire tech geniuses. It doesn't have to be a whole week. Even blocking off an hour a day can be transformative.
That feels more manageable. But how do we actually stay focused during that time?
That's where strategy number two comes in, eliminating distractions.
Easier said than done. Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge, but we can do it. Think about it this way. Your brain needs the right environment to focus. Think about it this way. Just like you wouldn't try to meditate in the middle of a rock concert, you can't expect to do deep work with your phone buzzing and notifications popping up every 5 seconds.
Oh man, I am so guilty of that.
Me too. It's so tempting to stay connected, but it really sabotages our focus.
So what can we do?
Well, there are some great tools out there. The article mentions Freedom and Cold Turkey. They block distracting websites and
Kind
apps.
of like a digital detox.
Exactly. But even something as simple as turning off notifications or putting your phone in another room can make a huge difference.
It's about setting boundaries for your attention.
Exactly. Creating a space where your brain can actually focus.
Okay, so we've carved out the time, minimized distractions, but how do we actually approach deep work? Is there a right way to do it?
Well, not exactly. That's where things get even more interesting. The article talks about four different deep work philosophies, each with its own unique approach.
Four. Okay, I'm intrigued.
The first is the monastic approach. Think complete isolation, minimal distractions.
Like a writer retreating to a cabin in the woods.
Exactly. That level of focus can be incredibly powerful, but it's not realistic for everyone.
Especially those of us who work in teams and need to be more collaborative.
Right, that's where the bimodal approach comes in.
So it's about finding a balance between deep work and shallow work.
Exactly. You might have dedicated blocks for deep work where you go off the grid, but you also allocate time for those essential but less demanding tasks.
Okay, that seems more doable for most people. What about the other two philosophies?
Well, the rhythmic approach is all about building deep work into your daily routine. So instead of having huge chunks of time for deep work, you incorporate shorter bursts throughout the
Like
day.
an hour of deep work every morning before checking emails.
Exactly. Consistency is key with this approach.
And the fourth philosophy.
That's the journalistic approach.
Okay, what does that entail?
It's about being able to switch into deep work mode whenever you have a free moment, like a journalist who has to write a story on a moment's notice.
So for people with unpredictable schedules.
Right, it requires a lot of flexibility and the ability to focus quickly.
Wow, so many different ways to approach deep work.
It's about finding what works best for you, your personality, your work style, your life.
I'm already thinking about how I can restructure my own days.
What else does the article say? Well, it goes on to talk about digital minimalism,
Great.
which is a really fascinating concept.
So digital minimalism, huh? It sounds kind of intriguing.
It really is. It's about being intentional with our tech use, minimizing all the digital clutter that distracts us, you know?
So not necessarily going completely off the grid.
Right. Not about giving up technology entirely, but more about making sure it serves us, not the other way around.
So maybe that's setting specific times to check email or turning off those tempting social media notifications.
Exactly. It's like reclaiming your attention, choosing to read a book instead of endlessly scrolling.
I like that. It's so easy to feel like our devices control us, but we do have a choice.
We do. And the article makes this interesting comparison with Steve Jobs. Remember how obsessed he was with simplicity?
Oh, yeah. Those Apple products, so sleek and minimalist.
Exactly. He understood that minimizing distractions clears the mind. It applies to design and to how we think, too.
So digital minimalism frees up mental space to focus on what matters.
You got it. It's like creating a clean, uncluttered workspace, but for your mind.
I love that analogy. So we declutter our devices to declutter our minds.
Yeah.
What about this pre-work ritual idea? Does that play a role?
It absolutely does. Think of it as a signal to your brain. It's time to shift into deep work mode. The article gives the example of Haruki Murakami, the novelist.
Oh, yeah. He's got a super strict routine, right?
He does. He wakes up early every day, goes for a run, and then writes for hours. It's like a sacred ritual.
It's amazing how those little rituals prime our minds for focus.
Yeah.
I think about athletes with their pregame routines.
It's the same idea, getting in the zone, preparing yourself mentally.
And you don't have to be a novelist or athlete to benefit.
Not at all. It could be something as simple as making a cup of tea or listening to calming music.
Anything that helps you transition into that focused mindset.
Exactly. And speaking of tools, what about using technology to actually support our deep work?
Ooh, good point. I'm a huge fan of those Pomodoro timers, you know, breaking work into intervals.
Those are great. And noise-canceling headphones can be a game changer, too.
Oh, yeah. Blocking out the world.
And there's project management software to keep you organized and all those to-do lists in check.
I find that having a clear plan really helps me stay focused.
Makes sense. When you know exactly what you need to do, it's easier to avoid distractions.
So we've talked about the philosophies, the minimalist approach, the rituals, even using tech to our advantage. But does all this actually translate into results?
Oh, yeah. There are some amazing real-world examples. Take J.K. Rowling's writing process for the last Harry Potter book.
Oh, right. She rented a hotel suite to finish it. I always wondered if that was a publicity stunt or something.
I think it was more about creating the ideal environment for deep work, removing herself from all those daily distractions.
No housework, no family interruptions, just pure focus on writing.
Exactly. And the result, one of the most successful books of all time.
That's a pretty compelling case for deep work.
And then there's Elon Musk, famously juggling multiple companies.
Now, he's a big time-blocking advocate, right?
He is. Apparently, he schedules his day in 5-minute increments.
Wow, that's intense.
It is, but it shows how seriously he takes focus and productivity.
Okay, those are some inspiring examples. But let's be honest. Deep work isn't always easy.
You're right. It's a skill that takes practice. And the article talks about some of the common challenges, like interruptions.
Oh, tell me about it. Interruptions are the bane of my existence.
I hear you. It all starts with communication. Letting people know when you're in deep work mode and shouldn't be disturbed.
Setting boundaries is key.
It is. And visual cues can help too. Maybe a sign on your door or a specific color on your headphones.
Like a do not disturb signal.
Exactly.
Okay, what about mental fatigue? Deep work can be draining, especially if you're not used to it.
And that's why breaks are so important. Stepping away from your work even for a few minutes can make a big difference.
So it's not about pushing yourself to the limit, but finding a rhythm that allows you to focus without burning out.
Exactly. And then there's resistance to change.
Which can be tough for a lot of people.
It is. We get used to our old ways of working, even if they're not very effective.
So how do we overcome that resistance?
I think it's about starting small. Don't try to change everything overnight. Just pick one small, deep work habit and focus on that.
Baby steps.
Exactly. And as you get more comfortable, you can gradually increase your deep work time.
This has been so helpful. But before we wrap up, I'm curious about the bigger picture. How does deep work impact things beyond our personal productivity? What about teams, organizations, even society as a whole?
Those are great questions. And it's something the article touches on as well. It turns out the benefits of deep work extend far beyond the individual. They have the potential to transform entire organizations.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible when you think about the ripple effect.
So we're talking about, like, A company-wide culture shift.
Exactly. Imagine a workplace where deep work is the norm, where people aren't constantly bombarded with distractions.
That sounds like a productivity dream.
It really is. And it leads to better quality work, too. When people can truly focus, they're more creative, more likely to come up with innovative solutions.
Makes sense. If you're always switching gears, you never really have the chance to think deeply.
Right. And there's this sense of fulfillment that comes with deep work, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like when you get into that flow state and you produce something you're really proud of. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's motivating, it reduces stress, and it just makes work more enjoyable.
So it's a win-win for everyone. But how do we actually make that happen? How do we create a culture of deep work?
Well, it starts with leadership recognizing the value of deep work and putting policies in place that support it.
So things like no meeting days or designated quiet spaces.
Exactly. Creating an environment where deep work can actually flourish.
But it's not just on the leaders, right?
Right. It's a two-way street. Employees need to take ownership of their focus as well, make conscious choices about how they spend their time and energy.
So it's about individual responsibility as much as it is about company culture.
I think so. And it comes back to that idea of intentionality. Deep work isn't just about productivity. It's about choosing to focus on what truly matters.
Being present, being engaged.
Exactly. Making a conscious decision to prioritize depth over distraction.
Which is more important than ever in today's world.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's one key takeaway you hope people will remember?
That deep work is a skill. We can all learn it. We can all get better at it.
It's not about some innate talent. It's about practice and consistency.
And the payoff is huge. Better work, more creativity, more fulfillment.
Absolutely. So to everyone listening out there, we encourage you to embrace the power of deep work. Start small, experiment, find what works for you.
And remember, it's a journey. It's not about being perfect every day. It's about progress.
Exactly. Keep practicing, keep experimenting, and you'll be amazed at what you can achieve.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of deep work. We hope you found it insightful and inspiring. Until next time, keep diving deep.